Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about Malvern Manor with owner Josh Hurd. When you were a kid and you lived nearby, or maybe as an adult when, you know, because you don't live too far away, had you heard rumors about the place being haunted?
I had no idea that that building even existed. Like, that's what's weird about it. Like, no clue whatsoever that that building was even there.
Because that just seems like one of those things that you would see as a kid, like the library, you know, and there's that creepy ass place where everybody goes,
right,
you know, the crazy
exactly.
People go there.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
But yeah.
So when.
I had no clue.
When you took it over, it wasn't like you guys are going, we're moving into it. So let's get it all cleaned up and we're going to gut the kitchen and all this stuff. You bought it as is.
And that was what's fun about it is, like, we went in there and we didn't touch a single thing. So quite literally, when you come and you book an overnight with us, you're going to experience that building the exact same way that I first did when I first walked in there. And that's very important to me because I think it kind of adds a little bit more to the place. The only thing that we did remove from the building was a ton of documentation that had very sensitive information on it.
And
things that, just to be quite, you know, honest, like, it's not, like, that's not the game I'm trying to play here. And so I thought it best to get rid of all of that stuff. Highly sensitive documents.
I mean, we have laws against that. And
exactly.
That they would close a facility like that down and leave that behind.
Right. Which is interesting too, because apparently that's, I guess, a fairly common tale. I've talked to other locations that are very similar in background or what have you. And they're like, oh yeah, we had just file cabinets full of stuff. And I'm like, but isn't that interesting? Like, I mean, you're sitting here and you have files, and it has these people's diagnosis, it has their treatment plans, it has their social security numbers, like all of this stuff. I mean, it's almost sickening. It's almost as if they just closed the doors and left.
And they did. It's pretty
very
much
odd.
What they did. So,
but yeah, very, very odd.
So you just continued doing paranormal investigations, which is pretty much what you do still. And
yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't go in and tour the building. We'll talk about that in a minute. But do you find that a lot of these paranormal teams, do you find some consistency in their findings? Or are you kind of surprised frequently? Or do you go, oh, that's so-and-so? You know,
that one's
always showing up.
Yeah. And that happens. That happens a lot, in fact. But there are times that really do kind of throw me for a loop. I mean, just for an example, just recently, over the course of 2 months, it was a 2 month period, there were three different groups that had experienced exactly the same thing that I had experienced. They heard a disembodied female scream coming from the same area of the hallway. What was interesting to me was the fact that none of these teams knew that the other team even existed or was there or anything like that. They just told me what had happened to them. They said they all left, you know, in the middle of the night, which I don't blame you. And then I take this information and I just kind of sit on it for a moment, right? Until then I experienced it for myself. I was just like, well, here's your grain of salt. Interesting, yes, that three different teams had experienced the same thing, seemingly the same thing. But at the same time, I have no proof of that until then it happens to me. And then I'm like, oh God, like they weren't lying. Like they're being serious.
Wow.
There was one time something similar had happened. There was three separate teams over the course of, I believe it was 4 months, that had said that they had experienced this spirit referring to himself as Jeff. Now that was new to me because I had never heard of anybody named Jeff, nor did I have anybody on record of living in that place named Jeff or anything like that. So I'm like, huh, that's interesting. What interested me the most was that these teams apparently were asking about the same battery of questions, right? Did you live here? Did you die here? Et cetera. Every single time they would get the same response. No, I'm new here. I'm like, well, now how does that work?
And that's so interesting.
One evening we were having like this weird Friendsgiving type thing at the manor. It was just me and my friends just kind of messing around. Well, there was a lady there that claims to be a psychic medium. She was walking through the building and all that, and she keeps kind of looking over her shoulder. And she says, Josh, we have a creeper. I go, what's that mean? She goes, that's just some guy that's like following us around, and he's like peeking around corners. And so she turns and is seemingly just speaking to the wall, but she says, you can come out now. She goes, well, she says his name is Jeff. And immediately there's a red flag that goes in my brain. And I'm like, that's interesting. But then I'm like, oh yeah, what's Jeff's story? And she goes, well, Jeff says he's new here. And I'm like, okay,
wow.
I'm like, that's interesting too. I'm like, so, I mean, it was just one of those things where I'm like, again, like information that it's like, you just kind of sit on for a moment and see if it can correlate in some way, which in those couple of cases, it certainly did. But yeah, just fascinating stuff.
And I was reading about grace. And it sounds pretty dark, but it's an interesting, because she had mental illness and was schizophrenic. Yeah. And multiple personalities.
Correct.
When you think about her as a spirit that might have stuck around, that becomes very interesting and complicated then. You know, when you think about what she would be like as a spirit.
I totally agree with that. Because in numerous times, like, I've, you know, thought to myself, like, oh, well, hopefully somebody with an affliction like that, because like they had one evening in particular, three nurses that sat with Gracie for just an hour. And during that hour, these nurses documented 13 separate distinguishable personalities, which is almost medically unheard of if we're being honest. Like the wheelhouse is about 2 to 5. You know, hopefully when somebody expires, if they have an affliction like that, that wouldn't carry on. I hope. But then I've also had the thought, I'm like, well, if she had 13 different personalities, and for whatever reason, those personalities do travel on with her, maybe it's just Gracie that's haunting Malvern Manor. Maybe it's just her.
Oh, that's a really interesting concept. It would be her. And in death, she could have unlimited personalities. You know, who knows?
Right. Like it just keeps going. And so these are the weird questions that I think about when I'm trying to fall asleep at
night.
Yeah,
you just gave me really something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting for sure. But I mean, like, even Gracie's glasses are still inside of Malvern Manor, sitting right on her nightstand exactly where they were left. Like, again, like all of these things, like her wheelchair is still there. Her bed is still right there. Like, and now I mean, she is one of my favorites. Like Gracie has become my therapist, if we're being honest. I will go into her room and I will lay down on her bed, which is kind of disgusting. But still, I'm like, Gracie, you're never going to believe what happened today. You know, I'll just go off. Or I'll go in there and just be like, Gracie, what did you do today? What are you doing tomorrow? You know, things like that. And I'll just try to have a genuine conversation. And I'm sure to the outside observer, it looks like I'm just literally speaking to the walls.
I find it sweet because probably in her life, at least as her mental illness progressed, no one talked to her like that. No one asked her how her day was, you know. Especially in that facility, they didn't have time to properly care for her anyway. And so I don't know. I find it sweet that she's.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know what I mean? in death, she's having someone actually talk to her in a real, legit, like, caring way. And
yes.
That's sweet.
Like, in all honesty, I do believe that that's what makes Malvern Manor as active as it is the fact that, like, these people were shoved together into just a crazy situation. It what could only be described as a very chaotic type of lifestyle anyway. And whether or not you would get along with the person who lived across the hall from you or whatever, you were still going to bed at roughly the same time, waking up the same time, having meals at the same time. Like, there's camaraderie in that. And it's family at that point. And I think that is why, is because in a chaotic life like they had, like, that was the only constant, was that building, that structure, those four walls that they called their home. That was their only constant. And that's kind of where my brain goes when I start to think of, like, what is the antecedent of the haunting.
And I can also see how those people would stay. I don't know when you die, do you have a choice? Can you stick around? Do you move on? I don't know how that works. But I also think in a place like that, they didn't know any other place to go. They didn't have people. There wasn't another, you know, they felt like this is where they belonged. And
definitely
in that kind of dysfunctional family that we all are a part of. You know, that was their dysfunctional family. I think you also get tied to a place because of trauma or different things, but all of those things fall in play in this one building.
Yeah.
When it was a hotel, it might have been a super happy place. You know, there might have been wonderful things happen there. You know,
and that's what's really cool about it too, is like that, like when you first walk into Malvern Manor, like we have this big room that's all wooden and cool. It's like the original flooring from the 1800s. Like, it is just crazy. And it's like, that is one of my favorite rooms, just because you can feel the history in this big room. And it's like, that's where, I mean, we know for a fact, it's like, yeah, that was the main reception for the hotel, but it was also a gentleman's parlor. They'd sit around and they'd play cards and sip whiskey and smoke the cigars and all that fun stuff. But we also know weddings have been held in that room. We also know funerals have been held in that room. Like, this was a very multi-purpose building, just servicing, you know, Malvern and in the outlying communities. Like, this building was the place to be.
Which I still find so fascinating, that with that kind of history, and you still didn't know it was there.
I had no idea.
I'm so fascinated by that.
It's so weird. It is so weird to me that I had no idea.
And
what's that?
I'm just going to guess, but my guess is Malvern itself isn't a huge town.
Oh, God, no. It's like 1,200 people tops.
Exactly. That just makes me laugh.
And I am just clueless, which is, I mean, that's about par for the course, if we're being honest. So, like, okay.
Now, are there any other things that have happened in the building that we need to discuss? Are there some other cool hauntings or things that you've heard of?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, another predominant haunting or whatever is, I mean, what we just call the Shadow Man phenomenon, which is interesting because that is what Johnny Hauser had experienced that first time that he walked through that building. At the end of that hallway, that nursing home, a very tall, black humanoid figure that will come out of room number two. He'll stop, turn, and then run at people. Now, what's interesting is it's traveling the distance of roughly 40 feet in less than a second. It is moving that fast.
Holy shit.
Your reaction is very visceral when this happens. This is also what sends the majority of people out the front door. Now, what's fascinating is that now we've been able to observe this and study this. And nobody seems to be getting hit, scratched, punched, any of that negative stuff. It's just whenever we react, it's suggesting something residual. Well, it was the day after Paranormal Lockdown aired, one of these nurses that I've since befriended, like that used to work there, she got a hold of me and she said, the gentleman that occupied room 2 was 6'7", nonverbal, mentally deranged, and had even killed a few people in the past. Now, his little claim to fame apparently was whenever they were doing bed checks, he would come out of the room and he would just start chasing the nursing staff. And he would chase them as far as the kitchen. But he would never go into the kitchen. He would stop himself right there at the threshold, turn and go about his business. I always found it suspect just because if he actively was trying to hurt you, what better place than a kitchen? Like, he could get very creative in a kitchen, but he never did. I'm like, maybe he was just trying to get a rise out of you. But interesting still that we're seeing very similar behaviors then with this giant shadow figure, right? That's running at people. So if it is something residual, I can't find the what's kicking that into motion. Weather patterns, moon phases, I mean, times of day, certain days on the calendar, it doesn't seem to correlate at all. It's like, so maybe it is residual, or maybe it is something that's just so dang intelligent that it is five steps ahead of us at all times.
What about something like, because you said he's nonverbal, so obviously,
right?
You know, his mental capacity might have been pretty limited. I'm not sure. But maybe that was his area. This is my room. This is my hallway. And get away from it. Like, he can't control anything in his as far as where he is, but he can sure own that. So just by people walking down the hallway, maybe he's running them out. Stay away from my stuff.
I can totally see that.
You know, he doesn't have control over much, so I'm going to control this, which would explain why he wouldn't go in the kitchen. That's not his. But this is.
Yeah.
And
but this is mine, yeah.
Yeah. When you go home at night, do you, because, I mean, you don't live on the property. I can't imagine.
Right.
You would never sleep.
God, no.
But do you find, are you able to leave it there? And I don't even mean just things attaching themselves to you. Hopefully you have some kind of routine and you deal with all that. But I find myself, I go to bed and I think about it. And then it's like, is something going to touch me in the middle of the night? What if something grabs my foot? What if... You know, so a lot of times before I go to bed, just from talking about paranormal stuff all day, I have to, you know, watch House Hunters or something that's so not paranormal.
Yep.
And
put on something mindless or a comedy.
Golden
or something
Girls, Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
You know, all that. And do you find like you have to do that? Are there times where it just kind of gets in your brain pretty deep?
Sometimes I have found myself going down some rabbit holes, right? And it's just like it's almost like you're trying to dig up history and all of that stuff, which is fun for me. But there's always a time that you just got to put it down, right? And for the most part, like, I will leave Malvern Manor and I always say the same thing. I'm like, all right, kids, we'll see you tomorrow, right? And I take off. And like, that usually seems to be enough where it's like, okay. That's me telling them I'm coming back. It's also me telling myself, dude, you still have tomorrow. Like, you're coming back. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Dig into this a little deeper tomorrow. For now, you got to be a husband. You got to be a dad. It's like, I got a wife and 3 kids that are running around this house. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, my hands are full. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't bring any of this stuff home. This is kind of dark.
Oh, my God.
Does the town itself, since it's so small, are they pretty cool with, do they find it interesting? Because you're bringing money into the community. Do they find it interesting, or are there people like, oh, the haunted house and those? But to me, paranormal investigators are quiet. It's not like they're going in and having keg parties or something. They're going in there and being quiet. They want to be quiet. They need to be quiet.
Yeah. You know, it's a very odd split. It's almost like a 60-40, maybe a 70-30. People that are like, oh, very supportive, cool. I'm never going in there, but kudos to you for doing good. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's awesome. No, that place ain't haunted. Oh, I grew up around here. I used to go in that building all the time, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, cool.
Come in there now.
It's like, so did hundreds of others, you know?
How about you come
but
spend
the
night?
But yeah, and that's just it. It's like, but that's what's funny to me. It's like, okay. It's like, for all the naysayers or whatever, it's like, I will 100% let you just come into that building, stay as long as you'd like. I'm like, stay the night if you want, you know? It's like, but put yourself in the situation, like, because that's what you're missing there.
Mm-hmm.
In your little statement, you've never yet put yourself in a position to observe something like this, experience something like this. And I would dare to say that they never will. Just because, I mean, you know, haters gonna hate, right? So
yes.
I mean, that's what it is. So, yeah.
And one question I have for you is that we started this whole conversation where you had gone one place to do an investigation, couldn't do it, too loud, the bar next door. Were you ever able to investigate that place? Have you gone back when the bar's not happening or after it closed and been able to do an investigation?
I've never gone back to formally investigate it. I'm there every week eating food or getting a really, really good iced coffee. Because, man, they have a coffee bar that is just to die for. I love their coffee. But, yeah, like, my wife and I grab dinner from there at least once a week. I mean, just all sorts of fun stuff. But I've never formally investigated there, and I would love to one day.
Which is kind of hard to do when you're kind of running your own. It's a little hard to juggle both, like your own personal going out on investigations and running this house.
Yeah.
I looked at your calendar. It's a very busy place.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool because I love sharing the place with people, and I love hearing their experiences and seeing if they can experience what I have before and vice versa. And trying to correlate data that might even then give us some more answers that we can then further explore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big proponent of the fact that it's like, oh man, when historical fact can line up with paranormal happenings and they can like just shake hands momentarily, like that's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that stuff.
Because I think the history makes the hauntings make sense. At least some sense.
Exactly.
If you knew what happened.
Yeah.
And you don't...
It's like, I think...
There's so many times you can't discover that. You know, it might just have something to do with a couple and nobody else knows their story. But it's just fascinating to know.
I love that stuff.
I do too. That's why I love doing this show. It's just fun to dive into this stuff. So I had asked you earlier if a person like me, who is not brave enough to go do a paranormal investigation at night in a place like that, you do tours of the facility, correct? Like daytime tours?
Yes. Like Thursday through Sunday, we're open from noon until 3 for daytime tours. Like, people can just walk up and get a tour. I'll walk you through the place. It takes about 30 minutes. And then I just kind of turn you loose and let you just kind of explore on your own. Maybe address certain areas of the building that you find to be most interesting or whatever. And then, tell your friends. You know what I mean?
Because I think that would be interesting.
Have fun and tell your friends.
And then the paranormal investigations, you can book through your website. Is that the best way to look into that? Because it's Malvern. And I'll put this on the description so people can just look right there. But Malvern Manor, Weebly.com?
Yes, malvernmanor.weebly.com.
Oh, excuse me. I did forget a dot. That's
then,
kind of important.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, and they can go there. I also have a link to Malvern Manor's website on my webpage, which is just joshherd.net. People can check that out as well, and it just takes you right to Malvern Manor as well. So, I mean, there's different ways to do it, but then you just, you know, request a date on the calendar. It emails me directly. I mean, if the date's open, it's yours, you know.
And, you know, do some planning ahead because you guys do book up, it looks like. So if you think you're going to go there next month and get a Saturday night, I hate to break this to you. I already looked.
You know, it's so funny, too, because we literally just had, and I hate doing this, but like we just had, he's a comedian. He's pretty famous, but he's also like into the paranormal, apparently. I had no idea. They had reached out and they were like, hey, he's in the area. He's in Omaha, which is like 30 minutes away. You know, he's like, he wants to come to the manor. Can he come on this night? I'm like, we're booked. And they're like, oh, can't you just bump somebody? I'm like, I don't do that.
Well, and you know, you can't just go, okay, he's more famous than you, so he wins. Sorry, you got to go.
Yeah, I don't play that game either.
Not fair. he could take a daytime tour. We're open noon to three.
Yeah, and it's like, plus, I'm sure you'll be back through Omaha at some point in time. Maybe just book it when you book the show. Whatever. I don't know.
Well, I can't wait to come check it out myself because it sounds amazing and scary.
Yeah, it would
be
awesome
all of the
to have
things.
You.
I would love to do that. This has been such a good conversation, too. I've really, really enjoyed it.
No, I appreciate you having me on. It was great.
And that wraps up our conversation about Malvern Manor with owner Josh Hurd. For more information on Malvern Manor, as well as tours and investigations, visit their website at malvernmanor.weebly.com. And for more information about Josh, visit his website at joshhurd.net. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You can find everything there. It's also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.